If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John in chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verses 14 to 18. And as you're turning there, I just want to thank you so much for the kindness that you have shown me. I thank you for Corné and the great privilege of being invited to speak to you all today. I count myself to be unworthy amongst you, and I'm so grateful to share this Lord's Day with you. And so thank you for having me. John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, he who ranks before me, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. From his fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Let us go to him in prayer, friends. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would meet with us now and that you would come and wash us. Would there be another amongst us this morning? And would none of us leave until we have met with you, Jesus. Amen. The title of this message is The Grace of God. Friends, I don't know about you, but as I get older, I realize that grace is a hard thing for a proud man like myself to receive. If you were to tell me, "Ryan, you're under the law," I can believe that. If you were to tell me, "Ryan, you're a sinner," very easy to believe that. You tell me, "Ryan, you're under the judgment of God," I can believe that. But you say to me, "Here is a gracious Savior. Here is eternal life handed to you on a platter." And I have to think, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood, died him for me, who caused him pain, for me, who him to death pursued? Can it be me? Friends, I don't know how you come this morning, but I come heavy, I come vile, and I come in need of grace this morning. And so the question we ask, can it be that I can have an interest in such a Savior as this one? There was a man by the name of Sinclair Ferguson. I think some of you may know of him. And he wrote a wonderful book. It's called By Grace Alone. And when he wrote that book and published it, someone said to him,
Sinclair, do we really need another book on grace? And Sinclair, very simply but profoundly, answered, my dear friend, we need to fill this world with books on grace. My friends, today I want to tell you about the grace of God, the sheer, irresistible grace of God that comes to us in all of its fullness and all of its freeness and all of its splendor, that you might receive this grace that is given to us. So brothers, let us come together, you and I. Sisters, let us come together, you and I, and let us go and drink from this well of grace this morning and meet with the King of Grace and hear from him. It's not enough to be sick. I know that you're all here this morning because you're sick and you need a doctor. It's not enough to be sick. We must take that medicine if we are ever to be made well. So let us come and drink of this wonderful medicine this morning. I have 3 points for you this morning, as I thought I'm in a Baptist church, and so I should make sure of that. The first thing I want to speak to you from this text is about the appearing of grace. And the second point I have is the working of this grace. And the third point is the receiving of grace. The appearing of grace. Let us pause for a moment and consider who it is that has appeared. The very Word of God, Him who was with the Father before all time began, Him who, as it were, was face to face with God, the very idea of God, the very substance of who God is, existing in His Son, the Logos, the Word, the idea, all of who God is, residing in Him, and He has come, the eternal Word, Him who was there in divine fellowship, enjoying heavenly communion with His Father and wonderful fellowship before worlds existed, before you and I were thought of, and before the earth was spun into being. Him who ever was and ever is. Him who has appeared. He who tabernacled with the Father in all the brightness of His glory and splendor, and Him who received waves upon waves of His Father's love for Him, and Him who reflected those beams of His Father's love back to His Heavenly Father, Him who tabernacled amongst the Father has now come to tabernacle amongst us. Friends, do we know who it is that has come? Who it is that has come? And John, reflecting as he writes this gospel, he says, my dear friends, we have seen His glory. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. My dear friends, this is the wonder of it all. The God of heaven Himself has stooped down to come and be amongst us. Is that not grace? Is that not grace that Him who was has come down to be with us? You know, John here says that we have seen His glory. Where was another place where a man saw the glory of God? Doesn't this have echoes of Mount Sinai? You remember that great encounter where the Lord, where Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord says, Moses, I will cause all of my goodness to pass by you. And so the Lord appeared, and there He appears on Sinai with thunder and lightning and terror. And here he comes and wraps himself in a body. And he comes, says John, full of grace and truth. Who is it that has come? What is this grace that has appeared to us? You would remember that verse from 2 Corinthians, where Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he's talking on the issue of generosity, and he says to them, "You know, my friends, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." The manner in which Christ came. First, he came on Sinai with thunder and lightning, and now he appeared to tabernacle amongst us, and he came full of grace and truth. It was no wonder why they asked the disciples. Common men would ask the disciples, "Sir, we would long to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus." Here was a man that came full of grace and truth, the world in which he created, that he came to. And here he was. I want to tell you a moment about that great and eternal covenant that he made before he came down. Oh, you know the story so well. The covenant that the Father made with the Son, which John Flavel writes at such length about. And he talks about the Father and the Son in covenant, where the Father looks upon this world that he has created, and he looks down and he says, "My Son, here is a bunch of undone, ruined and miserable souls which lie open to my justice." And the Father says, "Oh, my Father, I will go and get them. I will go and get them. So such is my love to them, Father." And the Father says to his Son, "Oh, my Son, if I spare them, I will not spare you." And the Son of God contemplates in eternity past this great covenant of signing off with the Father. And Paul writes, "In the fullness of time, God sent his Son." My friends, do you realize what this means when the Son of God came? Do you realize what it means for him to sign that covenant in the eternal heavens? And to say, "I will do it. I will do it, for such is my love to them." And so grace appeared. The fullness of time, the Son of God comes, and the Father says, "My Son." And there was Noah, as the Lord was completely destroying the world and saving Noah. And the Son is saying, "It's now the time, Father." And he's saying, "Wait, my Son, wait." And there, as the promises of God are unraveling and men are completely destroying themselves in sin, and here is God's chosen people that have completely wrecked it, and the Lord Jesus wanting to come into time and stand, as it were, as between the sun, the scorching sun, and our souls. And there's the elect people of God, and he is saying, "Father, is now the time." And he says, "Wait, my Son, you wait." And when the fullness of time came and he could take it no more, he said, "Father, I am going now." And as though he who had been face to face with the Father now says, "Oh, Father, I am going." And the Father says, "My Son, go and bring them home to me." And he comes. And he comes for you and for me. This was the appearing of grace. I work amongst the Muslim people group. And let me tell you this, my dear friends, that the world can only know God as lawgiver and judge. The world can only relate to God as lawgiver and judge until the grace of God appears. Until the grace of God appears. Do you know this grace? Number two, the working of grace. The working of grace. The question is, how does the Lord Jesus Christ bring this grace to me and you in Kraaifontein in 2022 in December? How does he bring this grace to you and me personally? How does he deliver it on our doorstep, as it were? How does this grace work? And at the very heart of what the Lord Jesus Christ comes to do, he comes down to earth, and he comes down to earth to make an exchange. He comes to make an exchange. That is what he comes down to earth to do. And what an exchange he makes. And some of you say, well, what is the exchange? The exchange he makes is this. He comes and he fulfills all scripture, and he fulfills all righteousness, and he clothes us. Us who are naked, us who are vile, us who are undone, us who stand under judgment. And he comes to us and he says, oh my bride, take these garments for your wedding day. These are the garments that you need. And he comes to give us those clean garments and make an exchange. And there were the blessings and the curses listed out in Deuteronomy. You know them so well. And this is how it goes. You shall be blessed. You shall be blessed. You shall be blessed. You shall be blessed. And in the contrast, if you do this, you shall be cursed. You shall be cursed. Cursed be you when you go into the land. Cursed be you in your rising. Cursed be you. And the Lord Jesus comes, us, upon whom all the curses were to fall. And he comes to take that curse. And he comes, us, who did not deserve any of those blessings. And he comes to shower upon us blessing upon blessing upon blessing. The law keeper treated as the law breaker. Here is the working of grace. How does he explain this grace to us? Well, the first way in which he explains it is we get the scene from the temple, where an animal was to be treated as a substitute for sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes to make propitiation. He comes in our place to stand in our place and bear the full and severe weight of the wrath of God in our place. He comes to make propitiation. And then we are taken to the market scene, where he comes to make redemption, where a price is paid to redeem a slave. And he comes to pay that great and extraordinary price to free his people from slavery to sin. The last one we find is in the world of relationships, where the Lord Jesus Christ comes to make reconciliation. Friends, I don't know about you, but I need reconciliation with God. If there be anyone that need reconciliation here, it be me. And here is reconciliation that my Savior comes to make, and he comes to make reconciliation You and I who stood as enemies of God, who were under his frowning and his anger and his judgment, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes to make reconciliation. So that through him we cry, Abba Father. And so the Apostle Paul says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be attained by the law, Christ died for no reason. Friends, do you know this grace? You see, the law has a word to me and you. The law has a word to us. And what did the law tell us? The law told us, do this and you will live. But who amongst us did it? None of us. None of us did it. And so the Lord says in the prophet, he looked, but there was no one. And so his own arm achieved salvation. And so the Apostle John says, from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. From his fullness, the divine man, the one who is all sufficient, the one who was ever pleasing to his heavenly Father, from his fullness, him who asks and receives, him who gets everything he asks for, him who was face to face with his Father, him who is only pleasing, who can only please his Father, the divine man, from his fullness, the obedient man. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them, says the Lord Jesus Christ. The obedient man, from his fullness, the cursed man. Friends, I want to take you for a moment to the cursed man, that you can see him there. Have you ever had a good look at the cursed man? Have you ever had a look at the divine man who was cursed? Let us go to the garden and see him there. See him there as he wrestles for your soul. And he has fulfilled now all law. But there is one more point that he has to fulfill. There is one more point of the law which he is yet to fulfill. And as he wrestles in that garden as to whether he should do it, as he contemplates the salvation of your soul, and he wrestles in absolute agony over what should be next, there's one more point to fulfill. The wages of sin is death. He has fulfilled it all for you, except the punishment. There is a sentence, and that sentence says that you should die, and that you should pay for your sins, because you have failed to keep the law. And there's the Lord Jesus in the garden as he sweats drops of blood and contemplates that wonderful and gruesome cross that he was to go to. There he was in the garden. And there was the covenant. Oh my Father, is there any other way? Is there any other way? Let this cup pass from me. And the heavens are silent. The Father is silent. There is no other way, my son. There is no other way, my son. Let this cup pass from me, Father. And heaven is shut up. And there he takes it. And he signs the covenant. And he seals it with his blood. He says, "My Father, not my will, but yours be done." He who knew no sin, becoming sin for us. Friends, has this ever struck you? The cursed man. That man that was cursed. Have you ever realized why he was cursed? And there was the cup. What was in that cup? Let this cup pass. And there was the cup. He who had received the cup of blessing with his Father throughout his earthly ministry. He who lived in the sunshine, whose face of the Father he always saw. He who had fellowship and communion, and uninterrupted fellowship and heavenly joy with his Father. And here he looks at this cup and he says, "Oh, I do not want to drink this cup." What was in the cup? Well, Isaiah, the prophet, tells us this was the wrath of God that was poured out on you and me. And you know what he does? Praise him, my friends. You know what he does? He takes that bitter cup and he drinks it. And he drinks it down to the bottom. From his fullness, we have received grace upon grace. I want to ask you a question. Where do you go for assurance? When you've been given the death sentence of cancer and you hear that your time is now done in this world and you are going to die. You realize death has come to your door and you cannot escape it. It is now your time. You have seen others go and you thought death was far away, but now death has come to you. Where do you go for assurance, my dear friends? Do you look within? You will look forever. There's nothing. There's nothing within. You know, an elderly man and a great mentor of mine was diagnosed just this week with cancer. And it is all over his body. He had a lymph node in his groin. And he thought he would go and check it up. He thought it was just something minor, and the test came back and the cancer has spread all over his body and he received the sentence of death. And you know what he said? Blessed man who knows his own heart. He said, "Sin was written all over my body." He does not look within. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Friends, do you know the chords of that hymn? I'm not saying do you know it, but I am saying, do you know it? Do you know it? Have you seen in the Lord Jesus Christ, have you received the fullness of this grace? For from his fullness, says the great apostle, we have received grace upon grace. Lastly, the receiving of grace.
Friends, I've not so much wanted to preach to you this morning as to speak to you and say, oh friends, here is all sufficient grace. Come with me. I am with you in this, and we, the two of us, are vile together. Come with me, and let us go and be washed in this fountain of grace. And so you say, Ryan, how do we receive this grace? What did Stephen mean when he said you always resist the grace of God? When he spoke to the Jews and he said, you always resist the grace of God. Well, look at your own life. There was a time, wasn't there, when you always resisted the grace of God. And then the grace of God appeared to you. And it was irresistible. It was too much. And it came, he came rather with such assurance. And bowels of love were opened upon your soul. And you said, this is too good to resist. I must come. I must come. There you were once in your arrogance and pride, and you said, I will do it my own way. I will not have this man to rule over me. And then the Lord Jesus Christ came to you with grace. And he said, as he said to Peter, my dear friend, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And there you were, and you said, oh Lord, wash me. Here I am, wash me. And there you received his grace. And Paul again writing, the apostle writing to the Corinthian church, those wonderful, wonderful words where he says, though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. And there was a time in your life, wasn't there, when you regarded Christ according to the flesh and you heard about the Lord Jesus. Perhaps you even came to the preaching of this church and you heard of the Lord Jesus and you thought, well, there's nothing special here. Perhaps you fell asleep when the preacher was preaching and you thought, well, there's nothing special about this man. What can he do for my soul? Until such a time as you heard him. And there grace came and you received the grace of God and you came to know him. I must ask you here, have you received the grace of Christ? I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you if you're a member of this church. I know all those things, and perhaps you do them very diligently, far much better than I. But I'll ask you a simple question here today. Have you received this grace of Christ? Have you received him? Young men and old women, have you received the grace of Christ? And if you have, as the Hebrew writer says, let us with confidence draw near to a throne of grace. My friends, isn't this the most wonderful thing in the world? Though everything changes around us, though the bullets are flying, as it were, and the bombs are exploding, yet we stand as soldiers who relate to our captain on terms of grace. Isn't that wonderful that we have a commanding officer who we can come to, who can understand us, and that we can relate to as our gracious Heavenly Father? Don't you long to see him? If this is who he really is, what else is there? Is it business? Is it money? Is it houses and homes? What else is there, friends, but him? Isn't it him? Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. A debtor unto grace.
You know, I would hear nothing but free grace to my sin-sick soul. I need grace upon grace. And what John received, which was grace upon grace, is the very thing I need, the very medicine I need. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in this precious word of his, to write to me love letters of nothing but his grace to me, that indeed he has bought me and sealed me and will bring me home. My friends, do you know this grace? In Isaiah chapter 55, those great and wonderful words, "Come all you thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, you who are bankrupt, you who have nothing good about you, here I present to you a full and free Savior. And if you would only come, there you would know the grace of God. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains." Now, in closing, to share with you a story. There was an old Somali man from a tribal village, and his name was Adam. And Adam was diagnosed with tuberculosis. He was a very old man, and he couldn't stop coughing. And he would cough up huge amounts of gunk. And he was diagnosed with tuberculosis. And you know what happened to this man? His family pleaded with him. His family pleaded with him, and they said, "Come to the doctor. There's medicine for this stuff. You just come and get your medicine." The man would always say, "No, I'll be okay. I don't need to go to the doctor." And there he would lie in his bed, getting up for a few hours every day, absolutely refusing to go to the doctor. "No, I'll be okay. No, I'll be okay." Well, you know what happened to this man? This man, because of his stubbornness, he died. And you know what, my friends? That's exactly it. I am telling you all today here, come to the Savior. Here is a willing Savior, and he will freely save you if you come to him. I present to you an all-sufficient and gracious Savior. Yes, it's sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, and just from Jesus, simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. My friends, are these the things that you're taking? What is your diet that you're eating? Here is a sweet diet, my friends, that can nourish you all here today. This is the gracious Savior. May the Holy Spirit open your eyes to receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who tasted him could not resist him. They must come. And they came, and they came at once. And it's this same man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will meet with on the other side. May his grace be with you, who he has called, and who knows. Amen.